If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5. And by the way, don't miss Wednesday night. That's going to be really, I've heard snippets and part of it. It's really like the book of Acts in some ways. And it has that kind of supernatural dimension. So you do yourself a favor if you come on Wednesday, for sure. Then we'll pick up the desert theme again afterwards. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The strongholds, pulling them down. What is that about? I'm convinced that you can literally change your thinking and change your life. Because life is to do with thoughts that we choose. It's impossible, I wrote this to myself here, it's impossible to dissect every thought because we have tens of thousands of thoughts every day. However, we can tune into our feelings. Feelings can alert us to what to the thing we are thinking about, which usually is at the core, at the root of your anxiety. And I think that's very, very, very true. It all starts with your thoughts. The choices that, and there are so many possibilities in your mind at any given time. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 23, Paul writes, he says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt," and here it is, "through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind." A renewed mind. When we come to Christ, oh, by the way, your land's testimony about, his mind was full of thoughts that life was no good, God was no, there was no God. There, it was bombarding him with the awfulness of life. And if you were to put a stethoscope beside his head, there would have been all kinds of sentences that you would have heard. And when we come to the Lord, that we put off these deceitful desires and this renewing of the mind. Larry Crabb, the psychologist, used to say, "Fill your noose with biblical truths." Because that's the word we want, biblical truths. And when we have a lot of, what would be the word, stinking thinking. It's old school thinking. And you still tolerate it. You still put up with it as if it was reality, as if it was true. And many times, most times, it's nothing to do with truth. It's just you have to be renewed and to cast off things that govern us like that. You know, to put on our new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, if you can change your thinking, you can change your life. And I think God wants me to be, you know how I can tell when I've been negative. And I thought, you know, you'll say to yourself, "Man, what's with me today? I'm seeing I'm kind of negative about everything. I'm kind of critical of everything." Have you had days like that where you just find yourself critical? You find yourself complaining, and you know that you need a change of some kind, or you will go through the whole day. There are people that find fault with heaven, so we can't do too much about that for them, but we do have an opportunity to change our thinking and to become a person so that when you're on the work site, that people see you and they hang around you and they say, "You know, you are a very positive influence here. You're so positive." Now, I'm not promoting positive thinking. I'm talking about biblical thinking, what the Lord wants. So there are distorted thought patterns. That's probably the problem for most of us here, is these distorted thought patterns that we picked up from the world. You heard it from your dad, your mom, your relatives. And maybe your father was a complainer, critical, and what happened? You're critical, complainer. It's just what happens. But we don't have to make that the norm. we pull down, pulling down strongholds. Those things that, those words, you're no good. You'll never amount to very much. Oh, you'll never be like that. No, you'll never. And you're just full of negativity. So I don't know whether this is not a biblical term, but it's a good term to be able to identify the what if sentences of your life. What if? What if? What if I lose my job? Now, in the brightness of a new day, it doesn't seem like it's such a, you know, it seems like everything's going to probably work out and it'll all be fine. But on a bad day, these thoughts are common. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my home? What if my kids get in trouble? What would I do? And what if they're doing drugs? And what if there was if I had a heart attack? And what, you see, what if thinking always breeds anxiety and fear? I've mentioned this before. I have down through the years, my thinking has changed. My fears have changed. They're different ones. The ones that I had when I was 16 and it bothered me, I don't think those at all anymore. That just seems ridiculous to me now. But other fears that have to do with aging and getting older, I find myself can be a little bit paranoid that I'm wondering about, will I have enough money? Will I have, where will I live? What if something happened to Val? What if something happened, you know, and those kind of things. And if you accept that as normal, you will be full of fear. Pretty well guarantee you that. You'll be full of fear. There's distorted thought patterns. So if you focus on what if, your fear grows. If you focus on God's word, on the opposite, when you focus on God's word, your fear goes. One grows and one goes. But we don't let them float around and crash into your mind, because they will create even more fears and more anxiety. So as we learn to replace what if with what God's word says, so we're able to share the scriptures and quote the scriptures to somebody. How many times, if you have done any counseling at all as a Christian, if you've done any at all, you find yourself saying, well, the scriptures to say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. And now, isn't that interesting? Everyone does, because that is one of the vitamin C kind of verses, because the person is full of fear, and we say, God's word says, and we replace it, and of course that person may not believe it in the beginning, but hopefully will as they process that in their mind. Philippians, Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh man, I just can't tell you how many times somebody said, I'm just going to give up. No, you can do all things. God will be with you and guide you and direct you. You can do all things. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, God makes all things work together for good. All things, yes. We say, well, here's my dilemma. Will I believe you or will I believe the scriptures? Right, I'm going to have to believe somebody or trust somebody. So who will I believe? Well, of the 2,000 years of the New Testament, I think we know what there is victory, and fears can be dealt with and pulled down. So we make Now, every time you speak what God's word says, it's similar to planting a seed in the garden. Every time you confess God's word, it is similar to watering your planted seed. I think that's true. And so a confession from God's word, just for example, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to those that believe. Boy, we wrestle with that. Well, all things. Well, what does God's word say? They must be possible, or we wouldn't have this in Scripture. And so we put that into our hearts and our mind. And see, I don't know about you, but I think we have to lay on the altar the words, what if. We have to surrender it to God. Say, God, I am full of what if statements. What if, what if, what if? What if it gets worse? What if I get sick? What if I won't have enough food for my family? Oh, and again, we have a choice. Will I cast that off, pull down that stronghold? Now, see, there, it's okay. I think you can have about, let's say 20 seconds. You can be full of doubt and dread. I think the Lord allows. See, that's okay. You want to have your little fear moment, and then cast it off and choose biblical truth. What the Lord says. Has the Lord ever failed anybody who has not trusted Him? No. By the time you've trusted the Lord, God has looked after you. You're here. The very fact that you're here tells us something that the Lord was faithful. Oh, and by the way, a lot of these statements that we sing are declarations. Who is like the Lamb? Who is like the Lord? And we rejoice because we go out of here, and you will be better because as you walk out of this church today, you would be able to say, man, I was kind of down, and the music lifted me up. The truths lifted me up. My God is an awesome God, and I bless His name. And wow, it's wonderful. So we lay on the altar the what ifs. And knowing that these words destroy faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want to my own heart, my own life, not to be filled with fear. But I, as I've said, I've noticed I've got new sets that persist, and I have to say, no, what will we believe? The word of the Lord, or what will I trust in? I will have to choose. What does God's word say? What does God's word say? And if you choose to believe the scriptures, you will walk in the light. You won't have the dreads that come over people that don't trust in the scriptures. What about those that make, ever heard of this, making a mountain out of a molehill? Yeah. Ever awfulized? She thinks I'm going to talk about her. We're different in our approach to things. But the joke we were sharing is that Val can awfulize things. It's not that she sometimes thinks too much. Some of us don't think very much. We're simple folk. We don't worry about those things so much. But you know, it's easy to make a mountain out of a molehill. It's things that words like awful. Oh, this is terrible, horrible. Oh, unbearable, dreadful, hopeless. See, that's and those things are common to all. Every one of us will, as we go through life, we struggle with those things. And making sure that I'm not creating something that God doesn't want me to create. Habitually expecting the worst outcome. Habitually accepting the worst outcome. Instead of what? Quoting Murphy's Law, if anything can go wrong, it probably will go wrong. How many have been guilty of that? I have. The whole thing will probably never work out anyway. I'll probably never find anybody to love me. No, it's not ever going to work. Nothing ever works out for me. And whoa, boy, I tell you one thing, you don't want to be around that person too much because it does rub off on you, that's for sure. See, if anything can go wrong, will go wrong. That's not true. I mean, it's a joke, but it's not true. Instead of expecting the worst possible outcome, begin to expect something good to happen to you. And so today, I even walking over here said, Lord, I am expecting good things today. I'm expecting you to show up in this church service. I'm expecting you. Something good will happen to me today. And if you make that same declaration that something good is going to happen to you, not something, why did you say something bad? What was the basis of that? What about something good? That I'm expecting something good to happen. That is of the Lord. The worst possible outcase, you change that to beginning to expecting something good to happen and go through life like that. Decide, because I thought as I get older, I don't want to get crankier. I don't want to get kind of critical and fault-finding. It can happen easy enough, but I don't want that to be my life. I want to be thinking positive things, expecting good things to happen as a senior. Why not? Why would it have to be full of fears and dreads and worry? Think about it. Then choose. Decide to choose that I'm expecting good things to happen the rest of my life. Why? Because good things have happened all this part of my life. Good things. God's blessing. Expecting God to bless you. Anticipating. God expecting God to use you. How wonderful is that? See, confession from God's word. It says in Psalm 91:10. This is so rich. It says in Psalm 91:10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague coming near your tent. Ever prayed that? I would chew on that if I were. Take that with you. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. And no plague come near your tent. So whatever is happening, say, Lord, we thank you for our tent. And no evil will befall. That's what our testimony is. That's what our confession is. We're anticipating. Brother Alvin had a couple of the elders over to his business to pray blessings on the business. And, that to me, the more I thought about that, and he said, God loves you and cares about you and wants the best for you. And we brought these people over just to pray for you. That what? That something good will happen to you. That something rich will happen to you. Because enough things going wrong, enough heartaches and aches and pains and problems, and isn't there? There just is, just by life. And how wonderful to, if you were all of us, he said, I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to believe that no evil shall be allowed to befall him, no plague shall come near your tent. I have, at times, woken up and aware of darkness in the room. I don't mean because the light was out. I mean because something else was there. And I could sense the evil. And this is pure. Is this a, I must tell you, I knew what it was. And I, what am I supposed to do with that? I just quoted the scriptures. That no evil shall be allowed to befall me, and no plague will come near our tent. And I spoke that, no evil shall come near my tent. And of course, poof. Why? Because the truth of the word of God counteracting the demonic thought. The one was designed to cause fear and trepidation, and this one to bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You're watching over me. Don't know what that's all about. So sometimes I've walked through the house just claiming victory. Because the word of the Lord says, no plague shall come near your tent. And I just believe, I'm just simple enough to believe that that's what the Lord had in mind. Very, very powerful, actually. So I cast down the thought pattern of expecting the worst. And I wholly confess that something good is going to happen to me and to Val and to our church family. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges. Doesn't mean there won't be things that, and there's some things we can't explain. But to confess that something good is going to happen to you, and that we're under the protection of the Lord, I don't think there's. I guess if we're talking, we'll pull our car out, and pray this. But mostly, when we start the car, we'll say, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the angels of the Lord are encamping around about us. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and directing us. And Lord, thank you that we're blessed in our going out and our coming in. And that we're safe as we drive through crazy traffic and crazy people. And just expecting you, Lord, expecting your blessing. Thank you for watching over us and the angels shall keep watch over us. Now, someone says, is that superstition? I don't think so. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's not superstition. It's the Word of God. I mean, if you had some kind of abracadabra thing, that wouldn't be, I wouldn't have any, I'd worry about that myself. But that is just, you see, you can't stop. There's so many factors you can't control in life. But those things that you know, as you go to bed, as you get up in the morning, as you go through your life, as you get in your car, and you drive, you don't take it for, at least I don't find I take it for granted. I'm asking the Lord to watch over us, keep us safe. And how many times, boy, I said, boy, that was weird. And the Lord was once again watching over us. So I repent in Jesus' name. I repent of negative thought patterns. And I'm choosing truth to guide and direct all the days of my life. I now boldly confess Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, to put on the garment of praise instead of a fainting spirit. So instead of fading and getting scared and fearful, I'm choosing to pick that which honors the Lord, and I repent of the negative thought patterns. And once in a while you catch it, right? You realize, boy, I'm so negative today. Why am I finding fault with everything? So it has to go, and we command it to leave. Isaiah 40, 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. How we thank the Lord for that. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as Peter tells us, so that at the proper time he might exalt us, casting all your anxieties on him. Have you done that? We need to do it. Cast all your anxieties on him, whether it's that thing that goes bump in the night, or whether it's decisions you're making. And, whatever, did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision? Oh, I hope I made the right decision. I don't know if I did. And finally, you have to just say, stop. Stop the voices. Stop the just here and there. And I'm in, I'm out, I'm around. When we moved here so many years ago, 30 years ago, we didn't know whether we were supposed to go to Ottawa or to Vancouver here. And we just drove ourselves crazy. We're going to come, we're going to not come, we're going to come, we're not going to come. And finally I said, oh, listen, a bad decision would be better than this thing. And so I said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We are on the horns of a dilemma. And so in the morning, and this is my prayer, I said, in the morning, whatever comes to my mind first is what I'm going to do. If I'm thinking of Vancouver, then I'm going to Vancouver. I'm thinking of Ottawa, then we'll go to Ottawa with Glenn and Tracy. And, I woke up, and Val said, it's a little risky, isn't it? What if we picked the wrong one? I said, no, we're just going to trust the Lord. And I said, I can't stand the indecision, right? No decision would be better than this. And I got out of bed the next morning, checked the window, which way the wind was blowing, said, we're going to Vancouver. Boom! Just such a peace came over us. And to this day, there has never been a doubt. Not a single doubt. But it could, see that just the naturalness of our lives is that we get really hung up on indecision. And that's why it's good to have someone say, would you mind praying with me? I've got a big decision to make, and I really want to be on track so that I get it right. You want to get things right. And, there's enough bad decisions. There are bad decisions made by God's dear children, and they've rushed into things shouldn't have rushed in, and it caused great problems. I've seen it down through the value of staying in a place is that you see patterns, you see what happens. Well, I tell you, if God guides you and directs you, you can be sure that He will keep His hand upon that decision that He's made. I know that to be true. So, how do we get started? How would this be that if we were to literally be conscious of choosing the right thoughts and casting out anything negative that brings, you know, just negativity to our lives. Number one, first of all, think joyful thoughts. Now, I'm not trying to be Dale Carnegie or something with this, but I see a place in Scripture not to think negative thoughts, to think joyful thoughts. Decide you're going to go to work. Decide that you don't wait to see how the wind is. Just do it. Just come into that office and say hi to everybody. Let there be some joy in your heart, and so much so that they see your life is something a little bit different. That you have a different perspective on living. That there's something about your thoughts. You're not complaining and arguing and finding fault. You know, from the time the door opens to the time you go home at 5 o'clock. That just ask yourself, what kind of thoughts have I had? And it's not hard to get some negative thoughts, that's for sure. But think joyful thoughts. Make that a decision of your life. Number two, to avoid resentment and unforgiveness. Wow. And I think it maybe even goes a bit further to the root of bitterness, that it'll start working in you in a very negative way and not a great thing to have, that's for sure. So avoid just resentment. How in the world can I be positive if I'm full of resentment? If I think people are out to... You see, I don't think people are out to get me. I don't think they are. Some people... I saw a t-shirt that says, just because you think they're out to get you doesn't mean they aren't. Think on that for a minute. Resentment. No, it has to go. I can't afford to be resentful. I'm not going to live long enough. I have to avoid, you have to avoid resentment and unforgiveness. It is like a disease. Don't allow 1 minute of it to be in your life because it'll throw you off. And again, your thought patterns will develop and the fears will come. But so you avoid resentment, unforgiveness, and roots of bitterness that go right to your toes. It's amazing what that can happen. I think of Acts chapter 16, where they were praying. They'd just been beaten up, and their backs were raw, Paul and Silas. And it says they began to sing praise to the Lord at midnight. Now, you talk about having a positive attitude. My goodness. I don't know if you think, well, why don't we have a chorus? Let's have a time of singing some choruses here. This is great. No, we would be overwhelmed. And yet the answer was giving praise to God. That's part of this new way of living. This is how it works. It's just a wonderful thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So we put it on. It's a wonderful thing. Give thanks throughout the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your hand upon me. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you're going before me. Thank you. I need not fear. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my life. And every place I put my steps, Lord, I'm claiming that, is that I am blessed in my going out and my coming in, and that I need not be fearful. I am going to trust the Lord and all that he has. Nehemiah chapter 8. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It gives us strength, I believe, as well. So wonderful. And then thirdly, to embrace the power of gratitude. Embrace the power. Have you read Luke 17 lately? I don't, you know, there's about, on the page, there's about that much of a column. There's a lot resting on that. And Jesus said, wasn't there 10? I said, there's one that didn't come back. One is, he's praising me. Where are the rest? Where are the rest? They didn't come back to give gratitude, to show gratitude. And you just, as you read that, it's... From verse 11 to verse 18, it's quite sizable that he was expecting them to come back and give thanks. And they didn't. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people that comes back and says, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for going, looking up, there'll be enough money. Somehow there's going to be enough. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. I don't have to take it, because the enemy will come and say, you know, you're going to be behind the door when good things are given out. Why is that? Is that true? I don't think so. The Bible doesn't say that. And I know where it comes from, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible talks about expecting, there's just blessings. So we embrace the power of gratitude, thanking the Lord, thanking, praising him, where in the morning, nighttime, just making that just a way of living. And watch, and I will say this to you, watch what will happen. See if you can prove this different. I don't think you would be able to. The more you give praise to God, the more the blessings come. They just do. And your life is rich beyond measure. And thankfulness. Just so thankful with all that the Lord has done. Number four, reading the Bible on a daily basis. Why? Because it gets those vitamin C things going in your head and your heart. I'm reading through, on my personal reading, I'm reading in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now, there's some things you have to just kind of skim over because it's kind of hard to fit it all in as to some of the things that's happening there. But there's some real good stuff in there. And I underlined it as I was reading through so that I could dwell on it and think about it. And there was an amazing amount of verses that came from 1st and 2nd Chronicles of all places. And I said, Lord, I thank you. This was so rich. How can I not? And did they just put this in there? I don't remember seeing this. You ever had that? You just kind of remember seeing that before. But I was enriched by it. And I can hardly wait to finish off 2nd Chronicles so I can keep on reading. And why? Because that's how you grow. I don't know any other way. You can talk to Marcel, talk to Rex, talk to any of them. You have to be reading the Word of God. So you think biblically and you speak biblically. And when you pray, and don't be afraid to use Scripture in your prayers. Let that, just confess that as reality and the reality that God has for your life. So reading the Bible on a daily basis. If you want to start somewhere, start in the Psalms. Or start in the Gospel of John. If you haven't been reading, and make sure you got a good translation, and then you're away, and underlining things, and claiming things, and embracing things. Boy, it's kind of like getting in shape, I guess. You're getting in shape spiritually. Number five, being filled daily with God's Holy Spirit. Yeah, you don't want to be, if you have all word, you dry up. If you have all spirit, you blow up. But when you have the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. You have to have both, right? So you say, well, I just praise the Lord all day, but what about the Word? And some people have the Word, but they don't have anything else. So it's being filled with the Spirit. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today to overflowing. And I'm going to receive it by faith. I thank you, Lord. I don't know whether I should feel, I don't feel anything, but I'm claiming this, that this is, the Holy Spirit is here for me today. And so, Lord, fill me and overflow from my life. Number six, to speak faith-filled words. Faith-filled words. My dear wife, when she reads and writes something, she has, I often check her writings in case there might be a good sermon idea in there. Because she really has choice things. And she writes it down. Right? And so she has it, and it's underlined. And she'll have page after page of things that she had read. And it's good stuff. You might want to just talk to her afterwards and get some of that. Just while you're talking to her. But there were faith-filled words. And they were good. And she enjoyed it, and I came across it, and I said, that's really wonderful. haven't seen that before. And anyway, so you speak faith-filled words. What's the opposite of that? Fear-filled, doubt-filled, always, you know, not trusting God for the good things He has for you. And so, and lastly, casting down thoughts that are contrary to the Scriptures. Not allowing any stinking thing. Just deal with it as quick as you can. And if you are living under kind of a cloud where you just feel so oppressed and you just haven't been able to kind of break through. I would be glad, I know others are here too, would be glad to pray with you if you said, I just feel that it's almost like there's a battle going on for me to claim the Word of God. It's like there's a struggle going on. And if that's you today, I would be glad to pray with you, because you don't want to be having other things kind of bombasting, you know, just blasting you, and just you don't need that. And so there might be something that just is holding you back. But if you cast down the thought, if there's for example, our brother, he had perpetual thoughts of suicide. Do not come from God. They come from the devil. They come from the darkness. And so it was good that he, as he prayed it together, to pull that down, because it would have destroyed him. It's quite amazing, actually. Casting down thoughts so that you can say, how's it going? Well, praise God. The Lord's He's working things out. I'm doing good. How are you being led? Oh, God's leading. I'm confessing the truth of the Scriptures. I think we probably change our mind one thought at a time. I don't think it comes in one big rush, but one thought, if I decide that I'm going to give thanks I'm going to be gratitude, I'm going to thank God for three things every day as I get out of bed and get ready for the day. I'm going to thank the Lord for at least three things. Three things you're grateful for. Three things that you really marked your life. And that's a starting point. And just watch what will happen. Just you will find a delightful change of even the environment. Somehow things are better. Now, I always use this as an extreme story, because this guy is really Brother Danny Moe. But he'll tell you about this, and Richard knows about this family. He had a place called Venture Press. It was a business called Venture Press. And the business was struggling so much so that one day the movers come in and they're taking away his furniture, the desk. That's not going to be a good day, right? When they come in, the movers come in and they're taking all your everything, just strip the whole office, gone. And Ardell, who we also knew from the Regina days, she said, there was Danny in there all alone. There's nobody else but him. And Ardell says, Danny, what are we going to do? 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 I feel so sorry for you. Look, they've taken everything. You've got nothing. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? And Danny, it'll help if you knew him. He said, Ardell, I've just been thinking here. What a great opportunity to trust God. And she said, to what? To trust God? Well, he said it is. It's a great opportunity to trust God. I think that brother, if I was to phone him today, I would think he's probably pretty well the same. After all these years later, his family's all grown up, I am sure. Dan, how's it going? Terrific. Even when his dad died. Do you remember when his dad died, Richard? We were at the funeral, and Helmer Moe, he was here with the church for years. And it was remarkable. He said, well, I just wanted to welcome you to my dad's funeral. This is terrific that you're here. So glad to have all of you up here. It's wonderful. He says, praise God. He said, my dad loved the Lord. But, you know, the Word of God was the main thing. He was a carpenter. And by the way, thanks for coming today. This has just been a real thrill for us to I thought, well, say what you will, but he's not negative. He's not negative, and he'd be quite a bit of fun to work with, as they were just believing God for big things. And there's another thing. The Lord has been talking to me. What about something big? Even as a church, right? Even as a church. To say, this is so big that it would take God to pull it off. So big. I think many times our thoughts, even as a church, are kind of, whatever will be, will be. Like Carl, we can easily be that way, can't we? Whatever will be, will be. Well, it's not up to us, it's up to God. You can feel the thing sinking into the quagmire. And, But what if we were praying and seeking God and we had a sense of something that seemed to be born of the Lord? I'm just giving you an example. And we say, well, that's pretty big. Yeah. But what if the Lord was asking us about that? And if not that, okay, if not that, if that's beyond us and just kind of crazy, then what would be that we'd say, we trust the Lord for something bigger than us, something gigantic that would just take the Lord to pull it off? Well, that would be something we can give ourselves in prayer in the months ahead, that what is God saying to us where we're trusting him, that it calls for faith, it calls for big thinking, and the fun of trusting God for things like that. That would be great. It really would. But we have to make sure that we're not just destroying things by our negativity. Well, we tried that once, didn't work. Okay. Maybe we could try something else. Oh, that won't work either. No, stop. You're killing us. We were thinking that God had something here. We want to. Even regarding our community, what would God be saying to us that would be a challenge and yet just the right thing that we could grow with? And I called this in the beginning, of opening, I called it joy-filled living, because I think when people are embracing positive biblical thoughts, I think that it just requires yielding our lives to the Lord. And expecting good things to happen. Your life can be different. It doesn't have to be full of terrible things. Matter of fact, good things. Good things. Can you think of any right now for your own life, just personally? Is there anything big that you would trust the Lord? Anyway, I'm going to open it now for a few moments. We're good. We're good. So here's the thought. How do you think, what has worked for you? Maybe that'd be better. What has worked for you that you can say, when I started thinking like this, my life was richer, more joy-filled? Okay, who wants to be first? Just a thought that came to you while I was speaking. What thought came to you? If you don't have anything, if it's too warm and you're up too late, that's okay. But if you do, it'd be good to hear. Yes. Gratitude. Is that work? Is that the thing that God talks to you about? Yes. Okay, this is coming back again to us. I had said that. I think it's one of the secrets. It's really big. It's to have, to be thankful and to tell the Lord how thankful we are. And even tell people how thankful we are for them. I was telling my brother here up here, Alvin, how proud I was of him. And I saw him in where he works. And the esteem. He's highly respected. Yeah, you were there, Kara. Highly respected. And I thought, It's because he's anticipating good things. And good things happen as a result of that. It's wonderful. Anyway, I was blessed, brother. I sure was. Somebody else? Yes. Wow. This is how she turned out. Yeah, and we say amen with you. That's how it worked. Sure could be different, couldn't it? Yeah, it could have been so different. But good things. And I think you can, usually there's somebody, other people believing in you, I think. So I'm sure your hand or fingerprints are all over it. Good. Somebody else? Where are you? Who's put their hand up? Oh, sorry. Sorry.
It's the supernatural self. It's the exterior self of the everyday living and the battle that we go through between the transition between the natural life that we exist, that we live in this world and we exist in this world and we adhere to the principles of this world and we're involved in that world. A great amount of our time, at least 6 days a week. And we have to make the transition from that world into the spiritual world, into the world of faith. And I find if that is where the battle is, there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And the strength that you have to draw and focus on and to acquire the strength to make that transition from...
Yeah, good. I got to cut you off because we got others, but thank you. Somebody else? I've talked to Chris before, but yeah, it's good. Somebody else? I saw a hand. Yes.
For me, what just kept on his mind was like having a childlike trust and faith or joy in the peace and freedom. And also stubbornness. Like, I have to keep reminding myself and just being stubborn about choosing to have like a
choice. Yeah, wow. Good. Somebody else? And if you don't think that's a big thing, go down and sleep on the floor of the Carroll Street Mission. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Last night they haven't seen any rats.
Oh, that's great. But it just say it inspired you to see it. But these kids that are down there, it's like it took a lot to get, you know, it all, to say, this is how she worked out. This is how this worked out. Yeah. Wow. We'll just take a couple more. Thanks, Carl. A couple more. Yes. Yes. Sheila. Yes.
I think it's definitely a willingness to surrender and say,
Yeah. I need a new me. Yes. Yes. And I think maybe, you know, that's the thing, is to say, God, I don't like what I see about my life. I want you to transform me. I want you to bring me new thoughts about how to view things. And stubbornness has to go, right? And fear, even some, to pray against the fear. We don't like change. Well, one more, and then we'll change this order. Yes. And? Oh, that, okay, sorry, I thought you were going to expand that. That's good. Lance has been mellowed out in the holidays. So. He usually goes a little longer with the thoughts. So. I thought, everything okay, brother? Let's stand. Joy-filled living, living at its best. Enjoying your life and the life that God's given you. You only have one life. Right? You only have one life. And it's refreshing to be around people that are living that to the full, serving the Lord. So let's pray that the Lord will stir us up to love and good deeds, that people being around us would say, wow, really love the vibe that comes from that those people. And I'm not talking about New Age stuff. I'm talking about, you know, the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just want to make ourselves available to you. We thank you for the journey thus far, and we're looking and believing for the on the things from the road ahead. And, Lord, we want to repent of negative thinking, doubts, unbelief, all those things, critical spirit, root of bitterness, resentment. We just turn and we cast those things down. And Lord, we put on the garment of praise and true holiness and righteousness, as your word says. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Not my thought or our thoughts, but the word of God. And we love you and we praise you. And Lord, I know you had some wonderful things in store for us. And I pray that we'll embrace them and that you will use us greatly. Thank you for placing us in where you've put us. Lord, now I pray that there would be a great fruitfulness, and that the joy would indeed be our strength. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, join us outside if you can. It might be a little warm, but just the opposite of how it usually is. So thank you for being here today.